This is the 4501 podcast, episode 32, Solo Backpacking in Vietnam.
What's up, Tony? How's it going, man?
Man, I just got up from a nice sleep. It's 6 a.m. ish here, 6:30 a.m. And I'm ready to hit the day rolling. How about you, Mark?
I'm about to go to bed.
Wow, this seems to be a trend.
Yeah, so for the listeners, just think of it this way. The 4501 podcast is a 24/7 working entity. So like, we at least have someone somewhere doing something about the podcast.
Yeah, so we're always available to receive your emails, receive your tweets, receive your Facebook messages. So please do reach out to us. You'll be the first person.
That was a very good that was a good drop, Tony, for social media credentials. Unless you're on a cleanse. But if you want to know about a social media cleanse, go back to that episode, which is like 20-something.
Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah. Okay. So I think last week's podcast, we were talking about how you're in you're in Laos with the Laotians, right? But are you in the same hostel that you were last week?
No, I moved a good ways north to a place called Phang Sali, and I'm in a guest house now.
Okay. All right. So let's just preface this podcast episode by saying, A, Tony has really spotty Wi-Fi. So if you have like, if there's like breaks or disjoints, keep listening. He's still going to talk. And B, if you hear motorbikes or water generators or monkeys or Tony burping or Tony's body functions, do not be alarmed. He's okay. He's just in a very... I don't know. Are you in a balcony or are you like on the edge of a street? Where are you?
Yeah, third floor balcony. Street's right down below. So there's cars going by and I can't say any monkeys, but definitely roosters.
Okay, roosters it is. Yeah, you know, maybe some people think roosters are actually monkeys. You never know. Anyways, so today is a exciting episode. We've been waiting to do this for a few months, because today we are going to finally be talking about Tony and solo backpacking in Vietnam. So if you want to go backpacking Vietnam, listen to this podcast and follow everything and do everything that Tony has done so far.
Yes, well put, Mark. So yeah, I was in Vietnam for 3 weeks. And I'm losing track of time here, in July to August of 2019. And I started in Da Nang, Vietnam, which is just about midway through the country. Vietnam's like a vertical country along the coast there. And then I ended my trip in Hanoi, which is up in the north. So that took me about 3 weeks.
Okay, cool. So... one thing, that's a cool place starting off in Da Nang, right? Da Nang?
You could go either way. Depends on where you're from.
Let's talk about why you decided to go backpacking in Vietnam. Like, I think that's one of the, like, why you even listen to this podcast.
Right.
Episode. Well, yeah. First off, why listen to this podcast? And B, why listen to this episode?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I think for me, at least, and for a lot of people, especially backpackers, Southeast Asia is on their radar from the very beginning, because it's one of those places in the world where it's just such a budget-friendly destination. Like, your dollar here is stretched so much further than it is in the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, etc. And by traveling there, you can do a lot more.
Can you give us like an equivalency? Give us like a conversion ratio. Give us an average day.
Food
and expenses.
So you can easily live like pretty lavishly on $30 a day in most places in Southeast Asia. And if you want to, like, I don't know, live like a king, you can do that on like double that budget, meaning like 5-star hotels and epic dinners and all that stuff, and like taxis and all that stuff. But on the other side of the spectrum, if you want to like live super cheaply, you can live on like 10 or 15 bucks a day and eat like street food. And
US dollar?
Yeah, this is all US dollar.
Okay.
And just compare that to back home, where most apartments cost well over $30 a day. If you break it down, like your monthly payment for your apartment, your lease, break that down into the daily rate, and that's probably what you're paying.
Okay. Well, so like you talked about this extensively in one of our episodes. Do you remember which one you talked about, like why you decided to go backpacking? I think this is one of our like first 10 episodes or something.
Oh yeah, maybe one of the first three as well.
Yeah, this is back. So if you're interested in hearing why Tony decided to become a backpacker, go listen to that episode. Let's just say it's like episode 3 or something.
Yeah. And how to plan your first backpacking trip was episode 2, and why younger generations are going to travel was episode 3.
Okay. Well, so there you have it. Episode 2. Go take your lesson. All right, cool. So Vietnam, extremely cheap. Let's talk about what you brought.
Yeah.
Because it's a different environment, right? Because I guess this is comparable to South America?
Weather-wise, yes. Although it is rainy season now, so it's slightly different. And I am experiencing, like, specifically right now, I'm up in the mountains, like close to 5,000 feet above sea level. So it is cooler here, much, much cooler than it is like lowland Vietnam and the rest of Southeast Asia. So right now it's like, I don't know, 60s, highs in the 80s Fahrenheit, whereas you're looking at like over 100 degrees elsewhere across Southeast Asia.
Is it super humid?
Depends. I think more south you go, yes. But here, it's not so bad.
Okay, cool. So what stuff did you bring?
So I think I did a pretty good job packing this time. I am getting used to it, so I have it figured out. I have one bag of clothes, which consists of like pretty much 10 or 12 outfits. And most of them shorts, t-shirts, all that stuff. And in addition to that, I have one bag of toiletries, which is, you know, your shampoo, body wash, conditioner, toothpaste, toothbrush, a little bit of medicine. And then some basic like chargers for my phone, my laptop, my camera. And I put most of everything. If I'm missing something big, let me know. But I have the all in one small backpack and one larger backpack.
You actually packed appropriately this time, right? So what do you mean by that? Like, in your past travels, what do you think you, like, how, like, did you pack too much in your past travels? Or for this specifically, did you pack, like, too little or whatever?
Yeah, I think in the past I've overpacked. I would take stuff that I wouldn't need. For example, the best thing I can think of, and I don't know, I didn't mention this before, but in the past I would pack, like, I would pack three pair of shoes, whereas I only need one pair and like a pair of sandals for the shower. So everything in addition to that is just excess. And another example I can think of is jeans. Okay, jeans are a very poor choice for backpackers because it doesn't sound like a lot, but they weigh a lot more per, like, I don't know, square inch of the material than a normal pair of like light mesh shorts or mesh pants or something like that. So when you're carrying everything on your back, you want to be very cautious about the weight of what you put in it in the backpack. So jeans, not a good idea. And in addition to that, they don't dry well either. So it takes them longer for them to dry than, you know, a lighter material.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So let's transition. So you talked about how you landed in Da Nang, like a lot of other people have done in the past. How did you find that city as like an entry point into your Vietnam experience?
Yeah, this is, again, all based on price. So I pretty much searched on Google Flights for like the cheapest flight to get me from America to Southeast Asia. And it just so happened that two of the three cheapest flights were in Vietnam. I think the other one was in Ho Chi Minh City. And the last one was somewhere in the Philippines. I think Manila, actually.
Okay. Well, let's just talk. We're not talking about the Philippines yet. So between Ho Chi Minh City, which is in Vietnam also, mm-hmm. in Da Nang, right? Did you go to Ho Chi Minh?
I did not make it there. That's in the south. So I only did the north half.
Well, okay. So do you know if a lot of backpackers actually go there, or you're not quite sure?
I think a lot of, actually, probably the majority of them start their trip there, because that's one of the, that is the largest city in Vietnam with, I think, somewhere like over 8 million people.
Okay. So if you were to backpack in Vietnam, you can either start at, probably better to start off at Ho Chi Minh City. Like, would you say that you regret not starting there if price wasn't like an object?
Yeah, I think that would be the ideal place, either that or Hanoi, because it seems like most backpackers, if they're doing the motorbike thing, they'll start in the south, work their way north after buying a motorbike, or start in the north, work their way south, and that way they can see the entire country.
Gotcha. Okay, so you landed. Did you plan? Well, we talked about this in the Australia podcast when you said you had nothing planned besides going to X, Y, and Z. To like three places literally. But did you plan this trip out in terms of activities and cities and stuff like that?
Nope. Yet again, I am winging it. And still to this day, I'm just kind of taking it day by day, maybe looking ahead up to a week at a time. But it's very rough and very flexible. And that's, I think, after doing it for so long, that's the way I prefer it.
Okay. So what stuff did you do in Vietnam? Or let's just, besides, because you did a lot, let's just pick like three things that you did that you think were like the best things. Is that an apple, like, okay, number three, or do you need to just like talk about more?
we'll start with three. I think that's perfect.
Okay.
So one of the highlights was definitely Hoi An, Vietnam. And this is just a city about, I'd say, 45 minutes south of Da Nang. And that's one of the reasons that I'm happy that I started my trip there, because I don't think otherwise I would have went to this city. So Hoi An is an ancient Vietnamese city, very, very small relative to all these other cities that we're talking about. And one of the reasons that people go there is to see their, it's not really a festival, but I'm just going to say their Lights Festival, which is pretty much a majority of the city decorated in these lanterns, some of them just plain white lanterns, and some of them very colorful, you know, your whole rainbow spectrum from red to purple. And they literally decorate their buildings, their streets, and I think the coolest part was the fact that they decorate their boats along the stream that flows through the town. So what you can do is you can hire a boat to go out on these lit up lanterns at night, and it's just a really beautiful thing to see. So that was a cool thing to witness.
That's pretty cool. Did it cost anything?
With most things in Southeast Asia, you can negotiate, and the more people you have in the boat, the better. So I think it ended up being like a couple bucks per person to go out on that boat.
Okay. So what do you think? Was there anything like you, going to Hoi An, was there anything different that you should have done?
No, I only think you need like a couple days there, maybe 3 days at most, to see the entirety of the village, because it is a small village relative to the other places, like I said. Another thing I did was took a bike ride out into the outskirts of the city to see like the rice fields and everything. So that was something I also recommend that people do.
Okay, cool. All right, so that's the first thing, and this, I should preface this, this isn't in any order, right? They're like, this isn't your best thing to do in Vietnam, or
no this, for me specifically,
this is all equal. Okay. Yeah, oh, this is chronological. Okay.
For the second one, it's definitely the caves that I visited up in Phong Noi, which is not too far from the Lao border. And I didn't know this. I wasn't planning on going here, but I talked to one of the people staying at my hostels and they're like, yes, I'm going to Phang Noi the next day. And I'm like, okay, so am I. That sounds like a really cool place to go to check out some of these caves.
It is Phang Nga.
Phang Nga.
Phang Nuk Nut in Phang Nga.
Yeah, so that Mark's referencing one of my videos, which I uploaded to YouTube, which you should definitely check out. It was a lot of fun to explore that cave over the course of 2 days with a guided tour. I went through a company called, I don't even know how to say it, Oxalis. Are you looking at it now?
I thought it was called Oxtails.
No, something like that.
Yeah, it's probably Oxalis. Oxalis. Yeah.
And what I really wanted to do when I went here was to visit the world's largest cave, which apparently you can fit like 3 Boeing 747s side by side inside the cave. But that cost like well over $3,000 per person to, you know, hire somebody like a tour group to go on and see.
Is that US dollar or Vietnamese dollar?
That's US dollars.
That's $3,000. Why is that so expensive?
I think it's just like a draw for a lot of people. Like, they know people will pay that money to see the world's largest cave, you know? But on the other hand,
incredible.
I spent like less than $300 for the 2-day tour, which I don't know. It might sound like a lot to some people, but I think it was totally, totally worth it.
Yeah. I mean, your YouTube video looked really cool. And again, if you're listening to this podcast and you have a time to go look at it, you definitely should, because it's actually shot. If you've ever watched Tony's vlogs, you'll know how far he's come since vlog one to his episodes now in terms of production quality. So I think it's pretty well shot, and it's really interesting to see these caves, and especially because the water in that river looks really blue. It's like a really cool... if I'm making this up.
No, you're right. It appeared that way.
I feel like the
too.
Water was like really blue.
Yeah, it was really cool, really epic. I didn't expect that at all. I thought it was going to be like murky, but it was really clean, pure water.
Okay, so I'm not making this up. It actually looks pretty blue.
And it's not Photoshop either, because I don't know how to do that with video yet.
I can do that if you really want me to.
Okay, we'll make it even bluer then.
And I'm going to charge you $50 a second. Okay. So the caves. The people you took the cave tour with, did you know them?
No. With most of these like organized tours, you just meet them the day of. And by the end of the tour, you end up being like pretty close to them because you're hiking with them through jungles, you're exploring caves with them, you're sleeping in tents with them. So it's cool that you can develop those type of relationships just from a couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like you guys were like really good friends, even though you kind of could tell that you were not like longtime friends.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But yeah, so that was pretty much it for that area of Vietnam. There wasn't much else to do there except for seeing the caves. I mean, I rented a motorbike for a day, went around and explored, but other than that, I only spent I'd say 3 days there.
Okay. So that was their second one. What about your third thing that you should go do in Vietnam?
The third thing I would have to say would be in Hanoi, which is up in the north. And there is this street in Hanoi called the train street. And what that is essentially a train that travels through, I'd say a couple blocks through this really narrow alley. It's a passenger train. And on either side, there's houses. So this train comes within like a foot, maybe a foot and a half of the houses on either side. And over the years, I guess it's turned into like this tourist attraction to go sit down, have a coffee, have a beer on the train tracks. And then you hear this bell 3 minutes before the train is going to like come through that area. And that's the time that everybody gets up, moves to the side, moves all the tables out of the way, puts their beer bottle caps on the rails, and watches as a train like comes like right in front of their face, right through the alley. And that happens a couple times a day as a train departs from Hanoi down to Ho Chi Minh, and as it arrives from Ho Chi Minh back to Hanoi. And it's just, I loved it. And obviously the bottle caps being on the train tracks, they get completely flattened, and it's like a keepsake that you can keep and say that you visit a train street in Hanoi.
So how many people do this like at a time?
There wasn't actually that many people when I was there, which was kind of nice. It seems like they could accommodate a lot more than was actually there. At the one like house, like these houses are houses / restaurants, so that's how they, I guess, they make their living. At the one house that I was at, there's three other people with me, and then next door there's like three or four people, and then there's like a big gap with nobody there. So it's not like hundreds and hundreds of people. I'd say like a few dozen people, at least in the visible area that I could see.
Okay, I gotcha. And so what are these? Did you do your bottle cap thing?
I did. I still have them somewhere.
Do you still have them? So is it just like completely flat?
Yeah, it's really cool how it goes from, you know, the crinkly bottle cap with the ridges around the edge all the way down to this just like flat piece of metal, still with the logo of the beer on the top, which at the time it was Hanoi beer, which is good beer.
Yeah. Okay. Tidbits. All right. That sounds really cool, actually. And that's free. Sounds like, well, besides buying the beer.
Yeah. Which is like, honestly, $1 or less.
Okay. So let's just talk about something that you mentioned briefly, like riding the motorcycle around Vietnam. Cause that, I feel like a lot of people do that when you go, they go there for the most part. They just rent motorcycles and they travel the country on them.
Yeah. And actually I found out that if you're traveling from the south to the north or the north to the south, like I mentioned earlier, people actually buy the motorcycles and resell them when they get to their destination. So I've been talking to a couple of people because I thought about doing it, but I just didn't have enough time by the time I found out about it. And it turns out that you can buy one of these used motorbikes, scooters, whatever, for somewhere between $200 and $300 US. And then once you get to your destination, you put it up on like Facebook Marketplace. I've never used it, but it's like a Craigslist on Facebook. And then you try to sell it to another backpacker or somebody local and get some or all of your money back. So that's a really cool way to approach that.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee you're going to sell it, right?
There isn't, but I think at the end of the day, if you like, so a visa for Vietnam is 30 days. And if you buy something for, let's say, $300 and you don't end up selling it, then you end up just essentially renting it for $10 a day. But I think most people are, if they're smart about it, if they have enough like lead time, they're able to sell it.
Okay. Well, I wonder like what happens if they don't sell it? Like, do they just leave it somewhere?
Yeah, or like give it away. I don't know.
How long does it take to actually like go from like landing to buying a motorcycle, do you think, or something?
Well, I met these guys from California and Hanoi who got there just a couple days before I arrived, and it seemed like they were able to pick one up within 3 days. And that was like after looking at multiple bikes and picking out the one that they liked the best. So not too long. But
do you need a driver's license, like a motorcycle license?
No, I don't think so. I think you're, at least for people from the United States, that's recognized as like an international license. Like if you have a license from the US, you're pretty good.
Okay. And obviously there's probably no insurance costs associated with it.
Yeah. At that point, you're just insuring a $300 bike, but I should say you should have like some type of travel medical insurance for your own safety.
Okay. All right. So that's pretty cool. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Like about Vietnam and backpacking? Is there anything you want to hit on? We got a little bit of time left.
We do. Off the top of my head, I can't think of too much else. I did stop in a place called Ninh Binh, which is between Hanoi and Phong Nha. And there I did this really cool boat trip that actually took you through some more caves, but on a boat this time. So you literally rode through the cave on the boat, and the cave itself was a kilometer long, which was quite the experience. What else did I do? Da Nang, I'll talk about Da Nang. So Da Nang itself, which is where I started my trip, I wouldn't spend too much time there. If you like the beach, it's a perfect place to go, but it seems like a lot of, this is like a Miami Beach of Vietnam. Like, this is where people go for vacations, to have a good time and to party and just relax on the beach. So not too many days there. Other than that, I don't know. That pretty much summarizes my 3 weeks in Vietnam. Lots of buses from place to place, and yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, they sounded really... I mean, you've posted, what, 3 or 4 YouTube videos so far?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
So, I mean, they've all looked really cool. So, you definitely have made an effort to make sure you video all the stuff you've done. And I think that if the listeners of this episode want to figure out or experience what you've been through, they should definitely check out your YouTube channel, where all this stuff can be literally seen.
Yeah, thank you for the additional plug. And you could find me on the show notes, which is going to be at the451podcast.com/32, or you can also just search Tony Florida on YouTube.
Yep. Okay, so what's the plan next after this? Like, going to Vietnam, would you say, how you were there for like a month, right? Or 2 or 3
just
weeks?
Just shy, 3 weeks, yeah.
Okay, do you think that was an adequate amount of time?
I could have probably did another week if I started in the south, especially to see Ho Chi Minh and everything in between.
Okay, all right. Well, I think that if you have nothing else to say, that I think we should end it on that, right?
Cool. Sounds good. I've yet to see Good Morning Vietnam. I have to get on that.
I'm sure if you saw it, they'd... I feel like that's a history lesson that the Vietnamese people don't want to experience.
Okay. Yep. Well, thank you for talking to me about Vietnam and sharing it with our listeners. It was really fun.
And so where are you heading off to next?
Well, since there's like a recording delay, I'm already in Laos for 3 weeks. And okay, after that, I'm thinking about Thailand or Myanmar.
Okay. So maybe we can do a podcast about either all three of those in general, or just maybe one of them.
Sounds like a plan.
In a future episode.
Cool. Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for talking with me, Tony. I will see you next week. Why don't you take us out without screwing it up?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye, and thank you, Jeff.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at @The451Podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us, shoot us an email at the451podcast@gmail.com.